Who all here believes that we need the guidance of God and the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. Because if we look in the Bible, you know, the great leaders, Moses, David, Solomon, and Joshua, nothing they ever did was by what they thought or what they knew was right. They went by what God knows is right. They didn't go by their own knowledge, they went by God's knowledge. And if you turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 13. If you're all there, just say amen. All right, got a few here. Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such is wisdom. Does not come from above with the earthly, spiritual demonic, unspiritual demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace, loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace by those who cultivate peace. If we go by what we think is right and go by our own knowledge, we will fail without God's guidance. Like leading a church, we can't run a church without God and the Holy Spirit. We all have visions the way we want a church to be, but it also has to be what God's vision, the way he wants it to be, the way he wants a church to be. Let's take worship, for example. There are many ways people want worship to be the way they want it. Like a person saying, I don't like the way you sound up here. Or, I don't like it when you play old hymns. The music isn't good enough. Well, then you say the Holy Spirit's not enough for me. The Holy Spirit, worship is all about God and how he wants to be. And if we look at David, he worshipped with all his might. He tamed the heart of Saul because he had God and the Holy Spirit got him. And now, who's responsible for our spiritual growth? God is. Well, we are responsible for our spiritual growth. Sorry, I messed up there. We are responsible for our own spiritual growth. We can't rely on somebody else on our spiritual growth. Because, let's say if we expect a pastor to be responsible for our spiritual growth, well, you're asking too much, because the pastor is one of us. He's one of us. And we're all responsible for our own spiritual growth. We need to cast our burdens onto Christ and not on other people, especially a pastor. And our anxieties. And we can't rely on other people to teach us the word. We need to learn the word for ourselves. And especially with a leader. A leader cannot lead by himself. And especially when you're leading a church, you cannot lead it on our own. We cannot lead it on our own. We need God and the Holy Spirit to guide us. And the same thing goes with all of us. Because if we try to lead a church by ourselves, it'll fall. But if we let God and the Holy Spirit guide us, it'll grow.
So, mine is on the wrath of God and what it is. The wrath of God is basically judgment from God, and he has all right to judge you. Evil is, the man of evil is unpredictable and dangerous and is usually shunned by men. But God will not judge your anger. He will slightly rebuke you and bring you back to him. And Tozer says, God is holy and has made holiness to be his moral condition necessary to the health of his universe. Well, so basically, man was created in God's image, and we are called to his holiness, so therefore we are capable of his anger. And it's holy anger, not just mad anger, it's holiness. Holiness is deriving from the Anglo-Saxon hallig or hal, meaning well or whole. Since God's first concern for his universe is its moral health, that is holiness. Whatever is contrary to this is necessarily under his internal displeasure. So God's wrath is his utter intolerance of whatever degrades and destroys. It's not just who doesn't believe in him. He loves everyone. So thinking the wrath of God is who he hates, it's not true. In Habakkuk 3:2, it says, O Lord, in wrath remember mercy, which it means to when judging us to not forget that you love us. So that's it.
Aren't you all lucky? Get to hear me for like, I don't know. I actually don't know how long I'm going to take, so I'll just say anywhere from like 5 to 20 minutes. Good enough range. All right, so Wednesday, Jeff gave us this little packet by Tozer, and mine was on faith. And so faith is, it's relatively common throughout any kind of religion, but sometimes it's overlooked as what faith really is. We're taught, oh, yeah, if you believe in God, you'll get to heaven, but are we really believing the right way? Our minds are hardwired to look as faith as facts. If you give me the facts, I'll believe that. So if I have a chair and I sit in the chair and it doesn't fall, then I'll have faith that next time I sit in the chair, it won't fall again. So, and this is something that is different from how the disciples and everybody before Christ believed, and how maybe some of us are believing. And I give the props to those guys like Moses, Abraham, and Daniel, who could do that all without having the full Bible and the Holy Spirit and all that. So, should give them a round of applause. So, there's people out there who they're looking for proof that God in the Bible is true. They look for sea creatures or artifacts. But as Tozer described it, that really shows how little faith they actually have, that they have to find something to prove it. And I really like this quote. He says, "Let God tell the truth and every man a liar." So isn't having the Bible and having it be God's 100% truth, his word, good enough to make us believe? And yeah, it was basically that. I was just told to summarize it. Thank you.